Our reading for Tuesday, August 4th, is in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abound all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So far in the book of Romans, we've had Paul really punctuating the point that Jews and Gentiles are on the same playing field. He has made the point in chapter 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then he comes toward the end of the chapter and he asks this question, do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means, on the contrary, we uphold the law. But his point so far has really been that, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or you're a Gentile, you're both sinners. And because of that, it doesn't matter what your heritage is, you have a need, a great need, this giant hole. You are separated from God, and you can't overcome it no matter how good you are or how much you keep the law. It does not matter. You will not be good enough to earn your salvation. He's made that very clear. But now, when we get into chapter 4 and then into chapter 5, in chapter 4 he starts dealing with the faith of Abraham, what real faith is. What kind of faith is required in order to be pleasing to God and for that to be counted as righteousness? And he really drives that point home well in using Abraham that, yes, Abraham was the father of faith, but everybody becomes children of Abraham if they have a faith like that, a faith that trusts in God, believes God, takes his word, and is obedient to him. And so then at the end of chapter 5, he says, but the words, verse 23, it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. And it will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So in the end of chapter 4, he starts to shift gears a little bit in order to point out that it's not quite as gloomy as it seems because God sent his Son. God sent Jesus. So that's where he starts in chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, that faith that Abraham had that we likewise should have, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not of our own doing, but because of Jesus. And it says, through him we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You notice how he's putting all these pieces together. You can be justified through Jesus Christ, but that has to have that included component of faith. And that's an active faith, a faith that is willing to give up self and yield over to the will of God, doing what he says. And then you have that precious grace from God, and that is the grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, a hope, again, that we only have because of Jesus Christ, something that we can't have without him. And I think that the purpose of chapter 5 will become evident when we get into chapter 6. Chapter 6 needs chapter 5 to set a stage, to set an understanding, so that chapter 6 makes more sense and we really understand what it is to live for Christ and die to sin. Understand that though Paul has made the point that obedience is required, it is an obedient faith, he is still telling us the very important truth that just because we follow the plan of salvation and just because we do what God tells us to do in order to take advantage of that covenant, that it is still the gift of God through Jesus Christ that we receive that grace and eternal life. Everything that we have in our spiritual existence, every blessing that comes from God, comes through Jesus. Without him, we don't have anything. We are completely dependent on Jesus for our spiritual life. I want to make a quick comment about peace when he's talking in chapter 5, this idea of having peace with God. Understand that when we are in sin, we are at enmity with God. We are, there is a hostility that exists because of that sin. You know, the only thing that we deserve under sin is condemnation and death. And it is through Jesus that we overcome that condemnation. And so then that hostility is also removed and we have peace with God. Those things are removed so that we can be in fellowship with him, welcomed into the family of God as a joint heir with Christ. And so he says, more than even rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God, we rejoice in our sufferings. And it's not so much that we rejoice that we suffer, but that we rejoice that we've been given the means to overcome suffering. And that suffering, when we endure in Christ, allows us to develop and our faith to grow and our faith to be proven as genuine. And then the outcome is producing character and hope because that faith has been tested and shown to be true. And that hope doesn't put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. And then verse 6 is very, very important. And again, this is going to carry us into chapter 6 too. It says, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. So verse 1 tells us that we have peace with God, but understand that before Jesus died for us, or before his sacrifice was effective for us, then we were separated from God. We were at hostility with him. We are enemies even of God. So verse 6 and then verse 8 tie together. And verse 7 in the middle says, one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But this that God did with Jesus, sending him to be the sacrifice for us, that was greater than anything anyone can imagine. It is the greatest gift that was ever given to anyone and ever will be given, is that Jesus died for us. So verse 9, since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God, saved from that hostility that we had with God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. But there's something else to that component. It's not just that Jesus died, it's that
we accept that sacrifice and yield ourselves over. That's going to become apparent as we move forward in the book of Romans. But more than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. That is, reconciliation that is made possible by the death of Jesus. So another conclusion, verse 12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sin, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. I realize this gets confusing for people, and they wonder why all of a sudden this point about Adam is made in the middle of chapter 5. Understand that Paul is just drawing a type or correlation between Adam and Christ, because Adam, being the first man, had that perfect existence in the Garden of Eden, but he broke one law of God. He and Eve sinned in the eyes of God. Sin came into the world, and because sin came into the world, death also came into the world, and more than just death in the world, spiritual death came as well. But just as by one man sin began, by another man sin was overcome. That's all he's saying there. Don't try to draw too much in there. And I'll just make this quick statement. He's not talking about an idea of inherited sin. He's only talking about that correlation of by one man sin started in this world, and by one man sin is overcome. He makes a bit of a parenthetical thought in verse 13 and 14. That sin was in the world before the law was given, that is, the law of Moses. But sin is not counted where there is no law, yet death reigned from Adam to Moses. Okay, sin brought death, and death was still there between Adam and Moses, even though they didn't sin exactly the same way that Adam did, that specific precept that brought sin into the world. But understand that sin was still there even before the law of Moses. I'll even argue that there were laws of God. I mean, even in the garden, you had Adam and Eve had that one rule that they broke, which was don't eat of the forbidden fruit. But verse 15 is where he really gets into this. You know, the free gift is not like the trespass. If many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. So as big a deal as it was that sin came through Adam and then everybody sinned, the same can be true that righteousness comes through Jesus Christ, and likewise everybody can partake in that if they choose to do so. And it says the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. So when we move forward through the way Paul is presenting all of this, he's reaching that point of how incredible God's grace is and how incredible it is to be forgiven. And then he's going to get into also, when we get into chapter 6, the idea that, well, if all of this is true, then, you know, we really don't have to worry about it. He's going to deal with that misunderstanding as well. So just know that as we're kind of chewing our way through chapter 5, that chapter 6 is going to deal with some incorrect thoughts that come out of what he's presenting here as well. And this is the inspiration of the Spirit that Paul would know that he needs to make some clarifications and make sure that people understand the role between grace and obedience and justification here. But his whole point through all of this and at the end of chapter 5 is that this is how incredible it is that Jesus came, that this was made available to everybody, not just to Jews and not just to Gentiles, but everybody. Everybody has access to this justification through Jesus Christ if we heed the gospel, if we make ourselves amenable to the good news, accept the covenant of God, accept the terms of God. So verse 20, now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Grace was there. Grace exists. But again, that's where he's going to deal with in the beginning of chapter 6, but I'm not going to go there for today's readings. But as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to the eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we should be rejoicing in that, rejoicing that we've been given that incredible grace of God that allows us to overcome the terrible nature of sin and the fact that we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We all deserve death because of that. We're going to get to there at the end of chapter 6 and verse 23. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. But you're going to have to come back to tomorrow's reading to hear everything entailed with that for chapter 6. Thank you for listening, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.